Good morning, everybody. Thank you for that good challenge, Pastor Ralph, about letting the book of Acts continue even after the message, the service is over. Because sometimes we get a real blessing in here, then we go and have hot chocolate and coffee, and then we, like Pastor said, we talk about something totally irrelevant to the service. So let the message, because we will never be able to cover, you know, I have to cover 7 chapters of Acts this morning. What time is it? No, I don't get afraid, because we're just highlighting some things in the book of Acts, because there's so much. And how many times have we gone through this? We've done it over and over in our ministry, but yet again, this time, it's just opening up so many wonderful truths, and we trust. I asked this morning, I said, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can communicate the truth of your word today, this morning. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. We are especially blessed and honored this morning to have 2 people with us, Gary and Barb Witherby from Calgary. And they're heading to the Holy Land, and we talked them into stopping over for 5 days with us. So thank you, Gary and Barb. I remember the Sunday that they walked into our church in Calgary, and we were kind of at the beginnings of revival, which lasted about 7 years, and we had some wonderful, wonderful years together. And we are honored that you're with us this morning. Amen. Imagine how much we have to talk about. So I've been having some late nights lately. Last night was good, though. We went to bed early. Marching through Acts. Please turn with me to Acts. Acts chapter 6. Actually starting in 7, but we have to back up a little bit. You know when you those little cartoons, you see the road runner, he wants to go forward, but he backs up, and then he goes forward. Kind of doing that a little bit this morning. We want to remind you, all through the book of Acts, there is a key verse found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. No ifs or buts. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Not to the church, not to the kingdom, but unto me. Jesus said these words. So every now and then we reflect back on that one. You shall receive power. This is happening in chapter 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 because of this promise. You shall receive power. And I trust that before the service is over this morning, there shall be a cry on our hearts. Oh God, I want that power. I want that power. Now we can't approach it the way Simon approached it, as Pastor touched on it last week, and said, give me this thing that when I pray for people, here's some money, I want that power that they'll get the Holy Ghost too. That's not what we're after. It's not about money. It's about the kingdom of God and exalting the name of Jesus. Amen? Yes. It's about Him and His kingdom. So, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. I was reminded when we were pastoring in Simcoe, our son Dean, our eldest son, was in Bible school at Zion Bible College in Providence, Rhode Island. And he wanted to come home. It was spring. He wanted to come home. And a friend of mine, we decided to drive out and get him rather than put him on a bus. We'd drive out there and get him and bring him back. Those were the days of the cassettes. Remember the little cassettes? And we had just purchased the Living Bible in Living Sound on cassette. And if you never had that, the book of Acts, like different voices, you hear women's voices, man, you feel the earthquake, you hear the sound, like just a tremendous set of tapes. So I said to Daryl, I said, when we get on the I-90, when we get out of Buffalo, let's put on the book of Acts and not say a word to each other. Just listen. Just listen to the book of Acts without stopping. We had to put 2 or 3 cassettes in there to get the full. But we did it about 3 times without stopping, without talking to each other. And here is what kept coming through. Let's go to the second one there, Levi. Or Logan, sorry. And when they saw the manifest presence of God, again and again and again, many times in each chapter, when they, the people, saw the glory of God, when they saw, they believed, they turned to the Lord, they joined themselves to the disciples, they brought the sick and demonized, and that by the hands of the apostles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, many signs and wonders were performed among the people. This is the book of Acts. This is the fulfillment of Jesus' words, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And the religious leaders came to a point where they said, and I think this was last week, a notable miracle. The lame man, lame from birth. He's running and leaping and praising God. And they got together to say, this didn't happen. They said, it did happen. Look, he's out there running in the street. We cannot deny that a notable miracle has been done in our midst. What are we going to do? Folks, we need some more notable miracles. We hear about miracles, we see healings, we experience healings, but in our community today, we need more notable miracles. Where people in town will say, hey, we better get out there at Jubilee, because things are happening out there that we can't explain. Some good things are happening, and that we can't deny. So we felt that, we heard it again and again and again, hour after hour. I don't know how many hours we did it that day, but I think we went through it three times, the entire book of Acts, without talking about it, just listening. And that was the key that came through to the surface. They believed when they saw and heard the power of God being manifest through the lives of these apostles. That's what the Acts is all about. So in this, today we're marching through Acts. Acts 7, we have Stephen, the first martyr. Acts 8, we have Philip's ministry, the second deacon. Chapter 9, we have Paul's conversion. Chapter 10, Peter and the Gentiles, when God opened the door to the Gentiles, and the Jews said, mean it's for them too? It's for them too, it's not just for us. And chapter 11, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Chapter 12, Peter arrests but set free. Chapter 13, Paul's first missionary journey. And chapter 14, the highs and lows of missions. Now, no, I'm not going to try to cover them all this morning. Thank you, Lord. But we are hoping that if you haven't read them yet, these chapters, that you will read them this week and get the highlights out of them. So, did I pray yet? No, I'm going to pray, because if I don't pray, I might go too long. So, Father, I thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your word, Holy Spirit. We need you to touch us with this word. Yes. Touch not just our minds, but touch our hearts, yes, our understanding, so we would say, yes, Lord, yes, do it in my life this morning. We thank you for your word. Give us hearing ears and an understanding heart. In, yes, Jesus' name, yes, amen. 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 I've always believed that in the midst of revival, everything will go smoothly. Until revival came. And things don't go smoothly in revival because there's a devil, that's why. So it shouldn't surprise us to find in chapter 6 that good things were happening in this new church, but there began to be some murmurings. Pastor, you don't know anything about murmuring in your church, right? There's no murmurers in Jubilee. But in some churches, they are. In some churches. And so things were going good. All murmur, 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 murmur. And the Greek widows were saying they were not getting as much as the Jewish widows. And so they went to Peter and said, what are we going to do about this? And Peter said, listen, we have to give ourselves to the word and to prayer. It's not fitting that we should leave that. That's our calling. And go and wait on tables. So you choose 7 men, and here are the requirements for the deacons. 7 men of honest reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom. You find 7 of these and put them in charge of serving the tables, and we'll give ourselves to the word and prayer. So that pleased all the multitude, and they chose. And they chose Stephen, right in the middle there. Stephen, a man full of faith, and full of the Holy Spirit. Chose Stephen. He was the first deacon chosen. And they chose Philip. Remember him. He was a second deacon. These are deacons. Okay, now go down to verse 8. It's up there still. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Dr. Luke adds that in there. A deacon. Don't you love deacons full of faith and Holy Ghost, power? So this deacon man did great wonders and miracles among the people. Somebody say amen. Give us more deacons like that. I don't know what, if he did his job or not, Pastor. I don't know if he looked after the tables first and then went preaching. I don't know what happened, but he wasn't limiting himself to serving tables. He was out there doing signs and wonders. And so the leaders, they were confounded by him. It says that there rose certain in the synagogue, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And so they brought in some vile guys to come and testify against them and bring an accusation against them. And it says in verse 15 of chapter 6, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on Stephen saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Praise God. Praise God. Get together with the deacons and they have angels' faces. This man had a special anointing on his life. And so they said to him in chapter 7, verse 1, are these things so? Can you tell us? They said, when a man is full of faith and the Holy Ghost, don't say, you want to share? For years, I thought they'd stone him because of his long preaching. I did. I mean, you follow that entire chapter 7, he's preaching. And on the little tape we were listening to, and he was just going at it, like not even taking a breath. He delivered the whole council a synopsis of the whole history of the Jewish people in that chapter. Without taking them in the... And as he preached, he had a spirit of preaching on him, yet it seems as though this was the only one he ever preached. And here's what it says. That's all his preaching right in here. It says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Some of the dogs that you guys have. Or Wendy's black cat. She spoils that black cat. You know that? Anyhow. But he, listen now. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What was he doing standing? Because my Bible tells me that after Jesus finished what he had to do, he sat down. He's seated at the Father's right hand where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 10:10, 11, and 12 tells us that after he said it is finished, his work was completed. It was done. It was done. The writer of Hebrews says that the priest stood to minister in the temple, but not him. When he finished the work, he did what God called him to do. It was complete. There's nothing else to be done. On the cross, he said, it is finished. And so he goes to the Father and he sits down. His work is done. But here, he stands. Stephen says, I see Jesus standing. You know what he was doing? Welcoming his first martyr. Hello. Jesus has a heart for martyrs. In the book of Revelation, there's a large number under the throne. He's got them tucked under the throne. These are they that have come through great tribulation and have given their lives and they have palm branches. And he's waiting to honor them. Martyrs. We hear about martyrs in Islam. About terrorist martyrs. Tell you what. There are Christians being martyred today. More Christians are being martyred today than ever in history. And Jesus is standing. He's saying, come. You've suffered enough. You've suffered enough. But I've always had a question about this. I said, Lord, if this man is so full of Jesus, so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of power, and such an anointing on his preaching, why would you let him die after one, not even finish his first message? It's in here. It's about kingdom rather than individual. This is what it said. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That's Paul the Apostle in the raw. That's Saul before. It says, they stoned Stephen who called upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice and said the same thing Jesus had said, Lord, do not lay this sin against these people. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8. This chapter 8 should not begin here. This is still chapter 7. And I've told you many times before, I'm sure the pastor has, that the paragraph, the chapters and verses are not anointed. Chapter 7 should have continued. And Saul, consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That should be the end of chapter 7 there. And verse 5 should be verse 1 in chapter 8. Okay? Stephen preaches under the mighty anointing and dies. But when we get to chapter 9, you're going to see why. At least in my opinion. Okay. Chapter 7, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and the standing Jesus. Okay, let's go to chapter 8. Then Philip, the second deacon, remember? That chose Stephen, that chose Philip. We don't hear about the others, I don't think. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, listen to this now, and preached Christ unto them. That's another key to the book of Acts. They didn't preach a whole lot of doctrine. They preached a whole lot of Jesus. Him crucified and risen again. That was their message. Preaching Christ risen. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Remember, these were the despised and hated Samaritans. But Jesus had said to them in the Great Commission, start in Jerusalem, go to Judea and Samaria. And so Philip is obeying God. He is done in Samaria. And a revival breaks out. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. He wasn't just preaching. He was actually praying. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with devils. And many taken with palsies. And they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. Great joy. Revival in Samaria. Wonderful things happened. The pastor mentioned this man Simeon. I just want to say Simon was a sorcerer. He believes Philip. It says here he believed the preaching about the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women, and Simon himself believed and he was baptized. But then as Peter and John came up to kind of see what was happening from Jerusalem, they were like the headquarters, the apostles in Jerusalem. They came down to Samaria to see what was happening. And he started praying for people. They started receiving the Holy Spirit, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Simon says, there's some money to be made here. And I just picked this up. I know Pastor touched this last week. I just picked it up because there's a word in here. A lot of people say, well, you know, there are places where he prayed for people to get filled with the Spirit, and they didn't necessarily have any manifestations. Well, why would Simon pay money for the gift that had no manifestation? And I studied that, and I found something in this verse here. It says, when Simon offered money, Peter just rebuked him to the face and said, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. And I looked in every translation I could find. Some just ignores that verse altogether. Some call it ministry. Some call it other things. This word in the Greek is the word logos. This word, you have no part nor lot in this logos. You know what logos is? The word. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Jesus is the Logos, the Word. And he said, that which is coming forth out of these people's mouths as evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have no part in this. I mentioned that because I think that's significant. And I'm amazed at why not one translation I have found ever uses the word as Logos, the Word of God. Now here's another key to the book of Acts. And an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's the Gaza Strip. So he's going south. Which is desert. Get that? He's saying, leave and go out into the desert. Here's a miracle of the book of Acts. And he arose and went. You know what I would have done? Forgive me for saying this. I would have said, did I hear wrong, Lord? You wanted me to go to Samaria. I'm in Samaria. People are getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, delivered. And you're taking me out here to go to the desert? The key, one of the keys to Acts is they obeyed instantly. Come on. We need some more obedience in the church today. Come on.
Yes.
I'm going to try that again. See if you're with me. We need some more obedience in the church today.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe if I said it seven times, I'd get it all. But we do, folks. That's the truth. That's the truth. Later on, we see a little bit of arguing, but not here with Philip. Philip understood kingdom. So he goes down to this desert. We don't know how long it takes him to get down to that desert place, but he leaves the revival in Samaria and goes out. And here's what happens. And behold, a man from Ethiopia. He would be the Jim Flattery of the, isn't that what you call him? The finance minister of Canada. He would be the equivalent. He was the finance minister of Ethiopia. Queen Candace's treasurer. Important man. He's up in his chariot. And the Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit's talking to people very clearly in those days. He says, go up and join yourself to the chariot. That important man there. So he goes and I'm going to read it to you. And Philip ran next to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 54 actually. And he said to him, are you understanding what you're reading? He said, no, how can I? I have nobody to explain it to me. He said, come on up in the chariot with me. This is timing. Isn't that amazing? From a revival of, looks like hundreds, maybe thousands of people, he's called to one man. And if it was me, I would have argued. Because that's the way I am. I would have argued. And you realize that God is a God of the individual. You know, through John, one Nicodemus coming at night, one woman at the well, one, what was that little short guy up at the tree? Zacchaeus. One Bartimaeus. You just go right through the book of Acts. There's one. Here's one man, important man, one man. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, but obviously didn't find what he was looking for. He's on his way, he's still searching. And Philip comes up into the chariot with him. He was reading about the sheep going to the slaughter, humiliation and judgment. There's quite a few there from Acts chapter, or Isaiah 54. And this man called him the eunuch. The eunuch said to Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? Is he speaking of himself or is he speaking of someone else? Here's Philip, full of the Holy Ghost and power. Just come out of revival. Here's another key to Acts. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Hello? Are we getting it here? Acts is about Jesus in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Preached unto him. He didn't preach doctrine. He didn't preach law versus grace. He didn't preach church affiliation or denomination. He preached Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what I like about Jubilee. Wrong here, pastor preaches about Jesus. And somewhere somebody's going to hear about it. And they're going to say, you know what they're doing over there at Jubilee? They're preaching about Jesus and signs and wonders are following.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are we going to need five buses? Come on now.
Yeah.
He preached unto him Jesus. I love that. See, if you read it quickly, you don't get it. You can miss some of these things. Just these little nuggets. They don't look like they're very important, but they're so important. And as they went on the way, there came to a certain body of water. A little pond. Now, you had to know what Philip was talking about Jesus and what Jesus had told him to do. Because he says, this guy says, there's some water. Why can't I get baptized? And Philip said, if you believe. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yeah.
Let's get down off this chariot. And it says they went down. It was a good argument, Pastor, for going under,
right.
Not just sprinkling. It says, Philip and this man went down into the water and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, Philip's gone.
Right.
He saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, there was revival in Ethiopia when that man got home.
Yeah.
Come on now. Imagine the story he had to tell. Imagine that story. You know, this man come up in the chariot with me, explained to me exactly what it was. I believed. I got baptized. And the guy's gone. Come on, we need some more of this stuff happening around here. I just go like this, and I'm home in Font Hill. I don't know. It may, I don't know. This was a special deal here. But he's gone. He finds himself in the Osotos or something. And so one word. Yeah, thank you for putting that word up there for me. Jesus. That's what. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Chapter 9. How are we doing? Okay. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues that had found any of this way, whether there be men or women, that he would bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, I've heard so many preachers say he got knocked off his horse. There's no horse in the story. He might have been on a horse, we don't know. Might have been on a donkey. He might have been walking. Might have been on a camel. I don't think he was on a camel, more probably a horse or a donkey. But anyhow, he was knocked to the ground. And his voice says to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he asked two questions. Who are you, Lord? He obviously said Lord because he recognized this is outside of his realm. This wasn't a loudspeaker somewhere. This was God. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. What a revelation. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the gourds, the gouds, I think. Those gouds were like when a farmer was breaking in a new ox, a young ox. He would strap him to the old mature ox. Ox that knew how to plow in a straight line. And he'd go into the bush and he cut a long piece of, a part of a tree, a branch, and sharpen that point like a needle. And he would have it in his hand here while he's plowing behind the ox that knows what he's doing and the little one who thinks he knows what he's doing. And every time the little one would get restless and kick, he would go, whoo, and stick him in the rear end. Well, the rump end. And the more that little ox kicked, the bloodier his backside got. Isn't there something in here about raising kids? No. Sorry. No. Could get into trouble with us. But it worked on the ox. And this is what Jesus said. You're kicking against everything you're seeing. You saw. You were there. You took the clothes of the men who killed Stephen. You saw the miracle. You experienced the presence of God. And you're kicking against this. What are you? I'm speaking to you as individuals. What are you kicking against? Because you're going to get sore. Because God has a plan for you to walk straight. He's put you next to mature people. And the more you kick, the more you're going to get stuck. Are you listening to me? Come on. Come on, you just shut me off. You said, I don't want to hear that. But you're going to hear it. If you can stay awake, you can hear it. His next question. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's very simple. Who are you? I'm Jesus. What do you want me to do? If you're Jesus, it's no longer about me. It's about your kingdom. Lord, what do you want me to do? And here's what I find. Jesus often says this to us when we're at a crossroads. He said, just keep going. You know what you're doing? You keep doing it. And I'll tell you up ahead. Some people think that when they come to those crossroads, they've got to turn around and go off in some crazy direction. You just keep doing what you're doing. There's a word for somebody here this morning. You just keep doing what you're doing, and you will get a clear answer up ahead. Would you accept that? There's a clear answer up ahead. 3 days and 3 days he went without food or water. I mean, he was whacked. He couldn't see. He was blind. I don't know where they took him to. It took him somewhere and put him in a room and left him for 3 days without food or water. And God goes to Ananias and said, Ananias, there's a man called Saul. I want you to pray for him. This is where we didn't hear, I go, sir. And he said, but Lord, that man's killing everybody. You want me to go and pray for him? He said, you go. He was very firm in the Greek here. You go and pray for him, for I've got some big plans for him. And he says, and I must show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I'm sure that Paul wished he hadn't said that. I'm sure there are many times that Paul wished he had not said that. You want to hear what some of those are? Pastor touched on it this morning. He says in 2 Corinthians, he says, in prison, in stripes, more than once, in labor, the hard, abundantly hard stuff, in death, threatened with death, often, of the Jews, 5 times I was beaten, 39 stripes. I never knew that until you see it here. 5 times he had the same beating that Jesus had, 39 stripes. Stoned once, 3 times suffered shipwreck, spent an entire day and night out in the Mediterranean Sea, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in weariness and pain, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings, in cold, in nakedness. He said, he's a special, I've had my hand on him, and he's fighting me. He said, but I got him where I want him. He said, he can't see, he can't move, he's hungry, he's dying. He said, you go and pray for him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias says, okay, Lord. But what's so beautiful, he goes in and he says, Brother Saul, oh, that must have just stuck in his craw. But this is a good man, Ananias is a good man. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me to pray for you to receive your sight. Hallelujah. He prayed for him. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scaled, and he received his sight and rose and was baptized. Can I say something? There are about 14 occasions of people being saved in the New Testament, and every one of them is followed almost immediately by water baptism. So if you're waiting for something, your wait is over. It's a good thing to be obedient to Scripture. Almost immediately, every one of them baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then he was certain days with the disciples at Damascus. Now listen to this. And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogue. Immediately he preached Christ in that he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Immediately. Baptized. Jesus is the Son of God. And now he had all of this teaching. He was a genius. He had it all in the head. And now it was beginning to flow into his heart. But people were still afraid of him, and Barnabas, that he had a big fight with later on, Barnabas goes and holds him before the other apostles and said, you can trust this man. God is doing a work in this man. It's a beautiful story. Okay, chapter 10. I'm going to finish off here. I've got up there, in quotations, it's for everyone. Say that with me.
It's for everyone.
No, but shout it at me. Go like this. It's for everyone. That was chapter 10. There was a man called Cornelius. He's way up north in Caesarea on the Mediterranean. And he's a centurion, so he obviously is a Roman. He's a good man, one that feared God. Now, I'm not sure who his God was. We're not sure if he knew Jehovah or knew about Jehovah. And all his house, in other words, he was like the pastor of his house, gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And he looked on him and said, Lord, what is it, Lord? An angel talking to me. And here's what he said, your prayers and your giving. Your prayers and your giving. Say that with me. Your prayers and your giving have come up in my presence as a memorial. And I'm going to do something for you. I want you to send to Joppa. Joppa was quite a ways south on the Mediterranean too. And I know Gary and Barb are going to be seeing Joppa, I think, the first day you get there, if I'm not mistaken. You go from Tel Aviv airport right out to Joppa. It's called Jaffa now, but it's Joppa. And remember the story? Peter's on the rooftop. He's hungry. And this sheet comes down from heaven full of pigs and warthogs and I don't know what else. But everything that the book of Leviticus said the Jews should not eat. Have you ever seen any drawings on that, any illustration? I don't know where they found all these animals from, but anything without the cloven or with a cloven foot, anyhow. The Jews were told this is not kosher, do not eat it. And this big sheet comes down. Peter's in kind of a trance. And God says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, this is one time where, yes, Lord, it didn't happen. He said, Lord, this can't be you because I've never eaten any of this ever in my life. This is wrong. This is, don't tell me to eat this. I can't eat this. The sheet was pulled up, came back down again. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord. The sheet went up, come back down three times. And then God said to him, Peter, what I have cleansed, don't you dare call unclean. Now, see, you've got to see the kingdom here. This is not for Peter to go to eat a pig. He may have later on when he got understanding of grace. He may, I don't know. But it was a preparation for what was going to happen in Cornelius' house. So the Holy Spirit said, go downstairs. There's some men. There's three men, two servants and a soldier. And they traveled about a day and a half, maybe. And they were there and they said, the master's heard from God. He wants you to come and tell them what's going on. So they stayed the night there. Six men, you find that in chapter 11, six men went from Joppa with Peter. So there were seven Jews and these three Gentiles that went back to Caesarea. And we know the story how Cornelius bowed down to him when he came in the house. And he said, I'm a man, don't do that. He says, hey, don't carry on like that. This is in, but Peter took him up and said, stand up, I myself as a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that had come together on Cornelius' house, expecting and waiting for Peter and the others to come. And he said unto them, you know that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into another's house and fellowship with them. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Then Cornelius explained to him what he had seen and what the angel had said to him. And so we go to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he hath that fear him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God, watch this now, he's summing it up. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. The book of Acts now are several doing that now. Jesus said, the works I do, greater shall you do because I go to the Father. The Holy Spirit's coming and multiplying my great work. He said, I'm multiplying it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the power and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And as he kept preaching, I might get into trouble putting this in the wrong pocket here. This is one of my favorite parts of Acts. You know why? Because Peter is preaching. So I'm hearing my name. Okay. I'm serious. It has been my prayer for many, many years. And it says, and while Peter preached the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them that heard the word. Maybe there were some who weren't hearing the word. But those that were hearing the word, as Peter preached it, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they that came down from Joppa, the Jewish people, they said, I thought this was just for the Jews. Up till then, the Jews thought that this whole thing was for them. They've forgotten the words on the day of Pentecost, until as many as the Lord your God shall call. And it said, I want to read it to you because this is so powerful. It says, they were astonished, the Jews, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That was the proof right there. They were filled with the Spirit. They couldn't argue with it. In chapter 11, Peter reports back to the leaders at Jerusalem and said, just as he fell on us at the beginning on the day of Pentecost, same thing happened in Cornelius's household. Same thing. And they said, wow, of a truth, now we know that God has also poured out his Holy Spirit on everyone. It's open. It's no longer the kingdom of the Jews. It's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And his love for all. And then here's what Peter said. Can any, they magnify God and says, can any man forbid water? Isn't that something? They get saved, they get baptized. Can any forbid water that these should not be baptized who has received the Holy Spirit just as we did? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they stayed there for certain days. Hallelujah. Just click it for me there, Hogan. For this promise is unto you. That's the people in Jerusalem. And unto your children. And unto as many, them that are far off, all that are far off, as many as the Lord your God shall call. It's for us. But you know the thing that bothers me is it's for all the churches. It's for all. Even the unbeliever, the moment they get saved, it's for them. It's for them. Now tell me the truth. I had this little dream. I know quite a few are missing this morning, but if a regular Sunday morning Jubilee church attendant got touched by the Holy Spirit, filled with this power, this anointing, this faith, what could this church accomplish for the kingdom of God? Amen? What could it accomplish? We were visiting over at Harold's last week ago, Saturday, and he said, you know, Pastor Q, you don't hear too much about the second coming of Jesus. I'll tell you, that'll be part of the end time revival, brother. That will be a part of the end time revival. The awareness of the imminent return of Christ. It's faded out over the last 20, 30 years, but it's coming back. It's coming back because I remember a time when you'd get up in the morning and you'd go and check your parents' bed and see if they were still there. Yeah, I remember when I was 15, 16, going out to a party or something and coming home at night, and I'd go by my mom and dad's bedroom, and I wouldn't look for my dad's feet because I knew he wasn't going anywhere. But I'd look for my mom's feet. And say, Jesus hasn't come. But that's an awareness. And I hope our young people have that awareness. The soon, imminent return of Jesus Christ. That'll be all part of this revival. But I just have this thing on my heart today that there would be a cry from this congregation. Oh God, oh God, I need your Holy Spirit. I need your power. And what encourages me today, I don't have it up there, is this. Jesus said this. He said, if you, being normal everyday fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, I love those three words, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks? Would you like to ask this morning? You say, well, I've been around here for a long time. I've been asking for a long time. Well, ask again. Because here's what Paul wrote in Ephesians. He says, be being filled. Not be filled 10 years ago or 40 years ago, but be being filled. Present continuous tense in the Greek. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled. God wants to touch every one of us this morning. Let's stand to our feet. God wants to touch us. John, do you have a song that would kind of close us off this morning? Maybe we can do what Pastor Ralph encouraged us to do last week. Just kind of say, Lord, there's a hunger. Increase my hunger. Increase my desire. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. You know, I've often wondered why I didn't have the same passion that Paul had. And I often said, well, I didn't get knocked to my feet and blinded for 3 days and hear this voice. Maybe if I did, I would be as passionate. But I've seen the last few days, God's been reminding me of His hand on my life over the years. I was saved when I was 16, and just His hand on my life. And I tell you, I have so much to be thankful for. So much. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to know that there's a spiritual battle going on right now. Because there's a little voice telling some of you, not now. Not now. You know, you're too busy. You've got too much going on. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That's a lying spirit and a spirit of deception and discouragement. In Jesus' name, be silent. Hallelujah. Come on. I want you to just, if you, I don't do it because I'm saying, but if there's something in your heart this morning, say, Lord, do it in my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come on, saints. If you've been filled before, fill it. Get a refreshing this morning. Get a refilling this morning. Get a touch from heaven today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be filled with the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Open your heart to this one. Open your mind to Him and say, yes, Lord. All that you have for me. All that you have for me. I want to make my mark, Lord, in the book of Acts. I want it to be said that I was included in the book of Acts because I was a deacon filled with the Spirit of God. I was a young person filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I was a farmer filled with the Spirit of God. I was a mechanic filled with the Spirit of God. I worked for God in the kingdom of God. And I wrote part of the book of Acts because of the anointing of God on my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.